Do you love football? Well, visit Skybook Sportsbook for live odds on all your favorite games 24/7. Sign up with Skybook.ag now and feel the action like a pro. Since 1997, Skybook.ag is the preferred destination for finding the best odds on all the sports you like. For a limited time, sign up at Skybook.ag and claim a $25 free play with promo code NFL. Don't let your games get away. Visit Skybook.ag today.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
All right, welcome back to another Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdown Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, aka the Fantasy Football Geek. I am founder, CEO, and lead NFL analyst for DFSArmy.com. And I've got Mitch Carl, lead analyst as well for NFLDFSArmy.com. How you doing, Mitch?
Doing great, man. Very successful week four. Can't wait for week five. Let's do this.
Awesome. Same here. What an incredible week four. The week in which all of the chalk plays worked is what I'm calling week four. Like the highest scores ever because the most obvious glaring plays, a lot that we talked about on the pod last week, came through really well.
Oh yeah. It's a chalk explosion.
Definitely was and just a really, really easy week to navigate last week, for daily fantasy purposes. How did you do with your mass multi-entry approach last week? Because it would, on a chalk explosion week, one would think that being very contrarian in the mass multi-entry approach would not be as great as it would on a general standard week when all the chalk blows up in your face.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. So there's a way that I try to convey to the members where you can have a percentage of the chalk and it's just a matter of being overweight or underweight on the field. And it lends you to have some big swings in the standings while having some chalk, but no matter what, you still want to be moving with the field. And I break that down, specific percentages and stacks and the way I go about it in the MME playbook. So I don't want to get too in-depth about exactly how I go about doing that, but it's definitely a major talking point each and every week between our members and I.
Definitely. And you know, it's just a different approach when you're attacking daily fantasy sports from a mass multi-entry point of view. And for people who are listening who don't quite know what that is, you know, we have two sort of very separate approaches to how we're attacking daily fantasy sports. One being, hey, let's put our best lineup together, work all week, try to figure out what the best foot forward is, put that in your small contests, your cash games, head-to-heads against other people. That's kind of how I like to play. In the main slates, I like to sort of ponder and think and work and change things around and tinker until I find that perfect lineup. Another approach is trying to win a massive contest, right? And you're not winning a massive 100,000 person contest by, you know, putting something together with a lot of high ownership plays or that everybody else is on. You have to be unique. You have to come up with something different, like week one when the winners used Ryan Fitzpatrick when everybody thought that the Saints defense was good and that was a terrible matchup. And who was really good last week that not a lot of people were on except maybe one, Mitch? Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, one of the main ones was on the full slate, and that was Tariq Hunt, man. Kareem Hunt, excuse me. I had him at a very low ownership, and I specifically on that showdown slate, that single showdown slate on Monday night, I went all in on Kareem Hunt in that MVP spot, actually. And he happened to outscore Mahomes by, I think, 3 total points, but ends up being 4.5 total being in the MVP spot. So that worked out real well.
Didn't work out well for me, man.
But you did have the call of the week on your geek pick sheet. You want to tell people about this stunning 6 touchdown play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little scary to put Mitch Trubisky down in writing on a piece of paper that's, or, you know, in a written content where somebody can come back to you later and be like, why did you tell me to play Mitch Trubisky? But, you know, that Tampa defense was so bad and they're going to, you know, Mitch's house. And I thought if there was ever, you know, a low ownership play that can go bananas, it was Mitch Trubisky. And, you know, six touchdowns later, unfortunately, you needed to get him with Taylor Gabriel, which wasn't the easiest pairing. I liked him with Trey Burton, which worked out really well. Allen Robinson, who didn't do a whole lot, but you needed Trubisky, Gabriel, and Burton to win the million. So we came pretty close.
I saw a bunch of members were very pleased with your pick sheet after inserting Trubisky in there at a very low ownership exposure.
And,
so,
and I just want to point out, we're talking about the Geeks pick sheet, which is something that I put together every week. You know, 40 hours of research go into me kind of paring down my player pool into six or seven players from each position, depending on the position. It could be more or less, you know, a little more wide receiver, maybe a few less defenses, but a sheet of plays that I think are the best plays on the board for that week. And it's something that DFSArmy.com VIP members have access to alongside all of our other tools, our research station, our domination station optimizer, and you know, endless articles by Mitch and others. So let's go right into week five, which starts out on Thursday night with a sort of highly projected game. Patriots at home, taking on the Colts. And according to our Skybook sportsbook numbers, the Patriots are 10-point favorites with a 51.5-point game total. What do you say here, Mitch? You have a lot of interest in this game?
You know what? I really don't. I look at Julian Edelman coming back and Rob Gronkowski very highly questionable for this Thursday night matchup. You know, Chris Hogan's struggling a little bit. You get a little bit of clarity in the backfield, but then you have the Colts on the other side that, you know, are playing a little bit of a slow pace. They're playing some good defense. But then they also had Andrew Luck, who threw the ball 62 times last week. I can't really pinpoint what to expect from this game. I guess you could game theorize that if the Patriots are going to be winning by 10, you know, 11 points at home, that you're going to see a lot of the running game. But this is one of those weeks where, outside of just doing that single showdown, I'll likely just keep most of my investment to that main slate. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I play every game, so I'm interested in it from that point of view. If I was doing a contest that went from Thursday to Monday, I do have some interest in this game, but mainly it's because of some salary-saving options on the Colts at this point, with T.Y. Hilton looking like he's gone. Anyone from Corey Grant or their wide receiver, Ryan Grant, or the other wide receiver that came in, Pascal is the name of interest, Nyheim Hines. They just can't run it. So I really like the fact that the Colts constantly throw. And on a PPR site like DraftKings, where I need salary savers, there are actually quite a few on this Colts team. It's hard to know which one is going to actually show success, but you know, they're going to be behind and throwing a lot, most likely, or at least according to this line. So it does seem to favor someone like Nyheim Hines or pass-catching running back, or a player like Pascal or Ryan Grant, who should just be peppered with targets, even if they don't do a whole lot with them, if that makes sense. And on the Patriots side, I like both running backs. Definitely Sony Michel. I'm going back to that. James White, playable. Not my favorite play. Don't love James White with Edelman back, but he's okay, I guess. Probably won't play. And then I'm excited to really watch how this offense looks with Edelman back in the mix. He's really been a missing piece for them. So I think the whole offense is going to click a lot better for the Patriots now with Edelman back in the fold. That's it for that one, though. Let's move on to the main slate on Sunday and checking the Skybook Sportsbook numbers. First game on the slate, we have the Ravens traveling to Cleveland as 3-point favorites in a game with a 47-point total. And this game screams play to the under to me. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have a different take on this, actually. And I guess it could end up being the under if the Ravens go out there and drop 30 and hold the Browns in the teens or so. But, I was looking at Flacco and look at the bevy of weapons he has and his price tag. And, you know, he's on pace for over 5,000 passing yards this year and a 32-8 touchdown interception ratio. the Browns just made Derek Carr look all world. And I think that Flacco and John Brown have a good opportunity here to connect once or possibly even twice down the sidelines for a deep touchdown or two. And what is a really nice spot against a defense that has just looked absolutely out of sorts. Joe Flacco on DraftKings is only 5,400. And with that pass volume of 45 passing attempts a game and with the yardage he's putting up, I really am going to struggle to go away from Flacco, specifically in cash games, actually, in this Week 5 matchup. How about yourself?
Yeah, that is not that's not how I'm seeing this particular game. Not a big Flacco on the road guy. In general, like him a little bit better at home. I do think the Ravens offense has been pretty good, but I think I'm more impressed by their defense. And that was a big miss by the odds makers, by the handicappers, by the folks over at Skybook Sportsbook, to be quite honest, because that game was projected so high. And when you look back at the numbers, the Ravens are number one defensively against the pass right now. They're at the top of the league just defensively across the board. So really what I'm looking at more, because we saw last week, and I can understand why the mind goes to a high-flying shootout. We saw Cleveland and Oakland last week play to this incredibly high score, which was great. But Baltimore brings the defense to the table, and that's not a situation that I'm excited for in cash on both sides of it. Well, it seems counterintuitive to say, well, if Baltimore is a great defense, what does that have to do with Flacco? But if the game is just generally going to be low scoring and a little bit of back and forth affair, that slows everything down. And I think that Baltimore is actually going to be able to run it in this game. So, I don't think that the Browns are going to be able to put up enough points to put the pressure on the Ravens to push the score from their point of view. So, this is not a game that I'm going to be super excited about on either side. Quite honestly, I will have probably no exposure to any players outside of maybe a John Brown, because I love me some John Brown. Sheriff.
I tell you what, just after listening to your analysis of this game, it's exactly why I am so in love with DFS, man. Just beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And each and every week we have, you know, coaches and staff members make calls on certain plays like Mitchell Trubisky, where one might think he's in a great spot and the other thinks, what are you doing? And next thing you know, it goes off. Other times you have guys in great spots, everybody's on, doesn't work. I mean, it's just, it's such a fun sport, man. Let's keep crushing these games.
Hell yeah. You never know. But definitely anything can happen. This is football, so you never fully know. And
absolutely.
Now I have a little sneakier one coming up next. We have the Chiefs at home, 3-point favorites, taking on the Jaguars. Skybook Sportsbook numbers show a 48.5-point total on this one. And this is a fun game for me, but I want to hear your breakdown first. What are you thinking? What's your initial thought when you see, hey, Jaguars, Chiefs? What does that tell you in your head? Like, what's your first thought?
Oh, man. I mean, I did it last week, and I'm going to do it again. As long as Fournette's out, I'm going back to the Blake Bortles well.
Oh my God.
And I messed him up. I did in their MME with D.D. Westbrook, one of my preseason winning draft picks of a season-long article I wrote for us. He looked like a stud, the former Heisman finalist, just making some sweet moves in the open field. You know, the Chiefs are they play that Olay defense where they just have some of the worst tackling in the history of the NFL, and it doesn't take much for a player to look like a stud against them.
They are really bad, and it looks like Blake Bortles be out for Fournette will be out for a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, absolutely, which leads us to possible TJ Yeldon chalk week. I'm intrigued to see what you have to say about him.
The whole Blake Bortles and TJ Yeldon chalk week thing is just not clicking with me well. None of those names tend to do good well when everybody's on them. Like, we know Blake Bortles will have big games.
That's a good point.
We know every once in a while TJ Yeldon will have a big game. But it seems to never happen when you roster them. It's always a surprise. And so I'm hearing the name Blake Bortles all over the place. And I got to tell you, I'm just going back to Mahomes. And forget Blake Bortles. A lot of people are going to use Blake Bortles this week in daily fantasy sports across all sites. He's cheap. And at this point, when you look at the matchup and you see Kansas City 31st, 30th overall, just really, really bad against all things offense. I don't care if it's the run, the pass, whatever. They're bad at it. But yet this Chiefs team held down another bad quarterback in Case Keenum to not much last week, right? Just not really last week, last night. And then that it's a reminder that even a pretty bad defense can stop a really bad quarterback from doing a whole lot. Now, I'm not sure that's what's going to happen here. I think Bortles is in a very good spot. I think Yeldon is in a very good spot. I just will never trust those names in my cash lineup or in my primary lineup. And the fact that everybody's talking about them and everybody is going to talk about them this week because of the matchup kind of makes me not want to play too much of them in my tournaments either, if that makes sense.
Oh, I understand that. That for sure, if they get talked up, they're definitely not the type of players you want to be at the public exposure with. That's definitely not something – that's not a positive even value play, for sure.
Yeah, and they will be talked up. I'm already seeing it on the Fish forums that I've look at, and Fish mm-hmm. forums being like free forums where people just discuss daily fantasy sports like on Facebook.
Right? Gotcha.
I check those to see what the public – that's part of how I figure out ownership. I really do. I check those to see what the public is saying or talking about, and they're all over Blake Bortles.
Oh boy.
Rightfully so, but I mean, once I start to hear that, my spidey sense starts to tingle, and I'm like, huh, all right, if everybody's using Blake Bortles this week, I kind of don't want to use Blake Bortles. Again, he could have a great week. This is a high-scoring game. I think it could. It the potential's there to play to the over, but if it's me, I'm going to play it on the Kansas City side. And the reason I like the Kansas City side is because everybody thinks of the Jaguars defense as this very difficult to defense and great corners. And they're right. They are a good defense. But Mahomes is so freaking good that no, can't nobody stop him. That's really what I think. And I think Mahomes to Kelce, because the Jags do have those spectacular corners and really, really solid corner play, that will funnel extra passes to Travis Kelce this week. So that's where my mind is going. I want to get away from those Jacksonville corners. That's fine because Hill on one side, you've got Conley on the other side just acting as a distraction, and the passes go to Kelce.
I like it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm looking at that one. Let's move on to the next game on the docket. An ugly one with the Titans traveling to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Titans are going to be favored in this one, 3.5 points. Skybook Sportsbook has the total at 39 points. Now, you're a Buffalo fan. Last week, I played Green Bay defense at home against Buffalo in almost every lineup. They put up 20-plus points. Do you think the Titans on the road can pass 20 points in this game? Defensively.
Ooh, that's a great question. Man, I mean, I'm certainly, luckily enough, just being an MME player, I'll certainly have exposure to the Titans defense, but I won't be very heavy on them. This is kind of one of those games where outside of Corey Davis, who he just absolutely looked the part as the primary playmaker in that offense, I really just want not much to do with either side of the ball on either team. Do you have a different take?
I like Tennessee defense, but I think I'm obsessed with Corey Davis this week.
All right.
Like, I don't think I just kind of like him as like, all right, one. I think I'm obsessed with Corey Davis. And the reason is, A, it seems like Mariota's got feelings back in his fingers or something.
Oh, for sure. He looked good.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Maybe he's gotten the fit, or maybe he figured out how to throw a football with numbness in his hand. Either way, fine by me. But let me ask you a question. Who else does he have to throw to?
I tell you what, I will say nobody of much talent outside of the preseason DFS darling, Taywan Taylor,
who's
always, yep, he's been exciting the last couple of preseasons. He had an increased snap rate this past week and finished, I think, with 7 or 8 targets. I think he might have had 9 targets, finished with 7 receptions for 70 yards. But he is dirt cheap. So if you do go back to the well with Mariota, a nice way to kind of get off of that impossible chalk exposure of Corey Davis is to stack Mariota with Taywan Taylor.
You know, it's a good pause for a teaching moment, right? Quick teaching moment. This is more of a VI. This is more of the pods we do at DFS Army for our members. But I want to point something out here. A lot of people ask me, what's a cash player and what's a tournament player and how's that different? What differs between? How should I know? Well, we just talked about two guys. One is a cash player, a guy who's perfectly great to use in your primary lineup, cash games, head-to-heads. I'm trying to be in the top 50%. That's Corey Davis. Why? Davis is the number one wide receiver for his team. He's got two games with 15, or he's got a 13-target game and a 15-target game on his resume already this season. He's priced inexpensively on FanDuel in the low sixes. And he's going to be the primary target for his quarterback. That's the elements I'm looking for in a cash game player. Low price, tons of opportunity. Now, Taywan Taylor, tournament play. Runs for the deep ball, low percentage. But, you know, has one game of 9 targets, other games 3 and 4 and 5, not that many. But, runs deep routes, seems to have increasing targets from the last couple of weeks. We hope that will keep going, but it's not a lock. That's a tournament play. You pair him up with Mariota. He's dirt cheap, and if he goes off, no one's going to own him. You win the tournament. You understand? So, two different kind of plays here. You have one, the number one wide receiver, also cheap, but pretty much a lock for 10 targets in the game. That's what I need. I want opportunities with my cash player, but in my tournament player, I want that upside. No one will own him. He's super cheap. And if he catches one of those bombs, he's gonna put up a massive score. I also like to think of cash versus tournament plays as like cash plays are players I like to have in my season-long fantasy football lineup, you know?
Oh, there you go.
It's a real different way of thinking, but that is how I think of it. I'm like, oh, I play this guy in my season-long lineup. That's a cash player for me most of the time. Not really, but I mean, you know, I'm not like dying to start Taywan Taylor on my fantasy league with my friends. Like, I have better players than that. I don't have to worry about salary, but in the case of DFS tournaments, salary and how much they cost is very, very important. Yeah, and I like Tennessee defense in this one, so I'm gonna not forget to mention that. Buffalo has given up the most points to opposing fantasy defenses of any team this season. Very generous. And then at the end of the game, go out for wins. And celebrate your win. Tennessee. Alright. Next game on the docket. We got the Giants traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Panthers are favored by 7. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total at 44.5, an ugly game total. Who do you like here, Mitch?
Yeah, it really is an ugly game total on a week where we have, I believe, 7 games over 49. Well, the Panthers coming off bye week. They had 11 sacks, 5 picks in the first 3 games. They get to face the Giants off this bye week at home. I really think the Panthers' defense is in a great spot. And they're affordable on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Cam Newton has such a massive floor due to his rushing ability. And because of that rushing ability and touchdown rushing, he gets quite a nice bump to his scoring ceiling. And he's similar to Deshaun Watson, where I feel like they're just criminally under-owned every single slate. But they never are for me. I love targeting these two. So Cam Newton, I don't really think you even really need to pair him with anybody. I don't mind a naked Cam. And if you're going to run it back with somebody from the other side, I mean, look no further than Sterling Shepard. Boy, did he step into exactly the role that everyone thought he would be. Just kind of that check down over the middle type guy who was going to get peppered with targets. I believe he had 10, caught all 10. He's in another good spot in the slot where that's where the Panthers, I can't remember his name, but that cornerback he's their weak link in their defensive backfield. So I think Shepard's just going to be in a nice spot. He was really cheap.
You know, last week with Shepard, and, you know, we had a ton of Shepard, right? We talked up Shepard all week. He's a bolded Geeks Picks play, and he really delivered. But part of that was Part of that was because of the Marshawn Lattimore effect coming from the Saints, with their better corner probably sitting, taking Odell out as much as possible. But the other part was because Evan Ingram's out. And so they need somebody to catch those up the middle passes, you know, so it's just extra targets. Ingram's 7 or 8 targets per game had to go somewhere, and they weren't all going to Rhett Ellison for the Giants. But one thing I learned last week is, like, Eli sucks. Don't trust him. Ever.
He looked bad.
Yeah, he looked like Eli. He looked exactly like he didn't even look bad. He just looked exactly like Eli Manning always looks. Which is always overwhelmed, never good, classic Eli Manning. I don't think he looked bad. I thought he looked exactly like he always looks. You thought he would look good against the Saints, like the Trubisky thing, where I'm like, all right, this guy's not that good. But when the worst defense in the league comes to town, he's going to look good. I kind of thought that about Eli last week, but that didn't really work out very well. But yeah, I mean, what about Christian McCaffrey? Any love for him?
Yeah, I suppose on DraftKings, maybe you can rack up some catches, but there's some other running backs I like more than McCaffrey in this spot.
I agree with you. Not super excited about the low total.
Yeah.
On this game.
It's just too many high scoring games.
We're coming up. We're 2 away from a game that has the highest projected score of any game this season. And it's going to be a look no further than it game in one sense, but in the other sense, maybe not. So we'll talk about that one. But first, my beloved New York Jets, helmed by none other than Sam Darnold, Schwarzenegger, take on the Denver Broncos at home. Somehow, and actually I'm not surprised here, the Jets are favored by 1.5 points. 42.5 point game total. So are you loading up on anyone from this 42.5 point debacle?
Oh man, not with all the other games on the slate. I think I like the Jets defense a little bit, but other than that, man, I am just staying away.
There we go, Jets defense. That was a great call, and that was the first thing that my head went to after watching Case Keenum do Case Keenum things. Actually, I'm going to say, after watching Case Keenum do Trevor Siemian things,
ooh,
I've now learned that he sucks. Is that fair?
I think after that Monday night performance, it's absolutely fair.
Am I harsh for saying that if you can only put up 9 fantasy points against the Chiefs, if you're that person that can only put up 9 points against the Chiefs, it's fair to say that you suck? You know, I don't know any other way around it. So knowing that Case Keenum sucks, Jets defense, not that bad. Kind of like Jets defense here. And I don't mind Quincy Enunwa as a low-cost punt play. Moving on to the next game. An exciting game. We've got the Falcons traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Steelers are favored by 3. In the game, the Skybook Sportsbook, and I want to almost check and make sure this is right. They have it at 57 points. Are you serious?
That's a breath of fresh air after the last one.
57 points. That's the highest game total of the season. What's going on with this one? Who should we play? Who shouldn't we play? Mitch, make some sense of it for me, man.
Yeah, let's do this. All right, so the Atlanta Falcons actually opened as 3.5 point dogs, and 63% of the money has come in on the Falcons already, and it's moved the line to 3 points. And at the open, it was, I believe, 56.5, and that went all the way up to 57.5 within the first 4 hours of the day. So you got people who are excited about this game, too, and they're on the Falcons after seeing the Steelers on that miserable primetime game against the Ravens. So up and down this game, I think you have viable options in both cash games and GPPs. I mean, you've got Calvin Ridley, who continues to only get 5 to 7 targets in each week, but keeps scoring touchdowns. He's like the complete opposite player of Julio Jones, who's on pace for the most meaningless 1,900 yards in NFL history. I think this is a game where we can go back to the world with Ridley, and it might be one of those games where I might go extremely high on my Julio Jones exposure as that game where he finally has his three touchdowns. You know, he has like 2-3 games a year where he just goes bonkers. And, we're due. It's 5 games into the season. He doesn't have a touchdown yet. Would you be shocked if Julio goes out and scores 3 touchdowns on 150 yards receiving and ends up in all of the GPP winning lineups this week?
I'd almost be shocked if he doesn't score at least one. I would be shocked if he doesn't score at least one.
Yes, absolutely.
And Julio with a touchdown, by the way. Julio puts up points without the touchdowns. Like, that dude is putting up crazy points. You add a touchdown to the mix, and it goes from the 26-point game to, you know, the 32, or it goes from the 30-point game to the, you know, 38. Like, if he's actually scoring touchdowns also, it's just frightening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And his price is depressed because of the lack of touchdowns. So you're getting a guy that I don't think the field will generally be on. If they're going to target this game, I think people are going to go straight to Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown at home, you know, Big Ben, home narrative. Antonio Brown, you know, he's due for a big game too. I think that both those guys might have double the ownership of both Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. And that leaves us in a nice spot to kind of pivot off of that Steelers ownership with some wide receivers from the other side of this game.
I want them all in my lineup. How do I get them all in there?
Vance McDonald, he might be able to help you on draft.
I mean, he's just, is that what it is? I mean, I got to use Vance in order to fit this.
He is. He's 3.7K on DraftKings. It's a steal.
I'm in. I just want exposure to this game. By the way, I have a hard time. And there's another game here actually coming up. There's a couple other games that are interesting. So this is
we're getting to the meat of the weekend.
We're getting to some good ones here. So there are other interesting games, but oh my goodness, 57 points. I'm curious to see if that total rises over the course of the week, but everything is screaming, get as much going on from this game into your lineup as possible. The one person that I'm nervous about is Coleman. I just have not seen enough out of Tevin Coleman to think that I want to pay the exorbitant salary that DraftKings and FanDuel have slapped on this guy, considering he just does not appear to be getting the type of work that we need to justify the cost. What do you think of Coleman?
I think that outside of just trying to leverage some ownership of the passing game, you know, Coleman's really not in play. And same with James Conner. They just both kind of look out of sorts. They don't look like they belong in this offense, in either offenses. And, you know, unless you're trying to leverage the field, then you're not – I really just see no reason to touch these guys.
I'm going
to
give you a one sleeper min salary guy for this game.
Let's hear it.
Ito Smith.
Ooh, I like it.
Ito Smith is playing the Tevin Coleman role. Now, when Tevin Coleman was playing the Tevin Coleman role, his salary would be around 5K. But Ito Smith is coming in at 3,000. He's getting carries. He's getting targets. 3,000 on DraftKings and not a FanDuel play. This is a DraftKings play. But at 3,000 on DraftKings in particular, A, I get exposure to the game that I want. B, I get, it allows me to pay up for some of that Julio Jones goodness. And I don't need much out of a $3,000 player to make value. He gets, you know, he's had 3 games, you know, 9 carries. He had 4 targets last week, 3 targets the week before, 6 points, 10 points, 13 points. You know, if he got me between 10 to 13 points for 3K, I'm happy as hell. Thanks, Ito Smith. What if he does more than that and he scores a tutty? Even better. Long shot, but nonetheless, gets me exposure to a game I want and allows me to afford an extra stud in my lineup. Moving on, we have another exciting game between the Packers at the Lions. Very close 1.5-point spread favoring the Packers right now. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total at 51 points. Now, are you as excited about this game as I am? Because this one also excites me and feels like a game I want to stack. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely love this game. And I know it's a divisional game, but it's the first divisional game. It's really not the game you need to worry about. It's when those teams match up later in the season where, you know, there's a historical drop off in expected points. This game opened at 51 point total, but the Lions were actually favorites at the open, and 77% of the public bets came in and shifted the Packers to being 1 point favorites. You know, if Geronimo Allison gets cleared from his concussion that he left with in the third quarter, I am going back to the well with him. His price did not get bumped. And he, with the amount of volume he's receiving and his role as that deep threat for the team right now, boy, I love Geronimo Allison, especially if we're going to think that Darius Slay is just going to follow Devontae Adams around the field. Also, going for Allison or whomever would step up into that role, you know, the Lions just lost their two outside corners this week. They lost, I think it's Quandre Diggs. That might be the wrong name, but Quandre Diggs and Tavon Smith are their two outside corners. They both are out and likely not playing in week five. So I can see that the Packers really just opening up a passing game. On the Lions side, my word, is Golden Tate just viable on all formats and all sites right now?
I mean, it's hard to argue with his production so far this season. He has been the best Golden Tate we've ever seen to start the season. To say he's viable on all sites, the salary's climbing up a little bit. Getting a little high. But, I mean, you know, it's another great spot. DraftKings, he's going to get a bunch of targets. There's a great chance that the Lions will be behind in chasing. It's not like the Packers play a whole lot of defense. So, I mean, you gotta like Tate. And Golladay.
Do you happen to have the DraftKings price up right now?
Yeah. Tate is at 6,700 this week. Golladay at 6,000. And Marvin Jones Jr. dropping all the way down to 4,700. So Marvin Jones Jr. has sort of been the odd man out of the trio.
Interesting.
Even though he hasn't seen, like, dramatically fewer targets, he's seeing an average of about 7 targets a game right now compared to Tate, who's, you know, closer to 10, and Golladay, who's been coming in, you know what, not that different than Marvin Jones Jr. at about a 7 target average, 7 or 7.5. So interesting that Golladay is as much more expensive than Marvin Jones Jr., considering they both seem to have the same share of the offense. And that actually makes me think I'd rather play Marvin Jones Jr. and save the money.
I tell you what, Marvin Jones last year had his two best games against the Packers. He had 4 for 81 and a score in December, and he had 7 for 102 and 2 scores in November. So he's got some history about beating down on the Packers.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. On the Packers side, I guess part of the Cobb being out potential thing, I think favors Jimmy Graham as well a little bit, so I'm interested in him. I also would note that the Lions have the league's worst run defense by far. They're giving up the most points out of any team in the league. Actually, they're giving up the fewest points to wide receivers and the most points in the league to running backs. Now, when you lose two of your cornerbacks, your first overall against the wide receiver position ranking needs to be a little bit thrown out of the tape. You gotta throw it out. It's a different group gonna be playing this week than what they've had out there. Plus they played Dallas last week. Dallas can't complete a pass, even if you don't have any corners. So it doesn't matter. But they are the worst team against the run, and Aaron Jones had a smidge of a breakout last week. You know, he's off suspension. And so he's a player I'm somewhat interested in, but still concerned about workload. Not confident enough as of right this moment to say I want to, you know, have a lot of exposure to him, but definitely Aaron Jones interests me, taking on this terrible run defense of the Lions so far. All right, let's move on to another game. Another high scoring, you know, although less appealing at first look type of a game. We've got the Dolphins traveling to Cincinnati, taking on the Bengals. Bengals, 6.5-point favorite. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total 49.5. And I just want to mention real quick, Skybook Sportsbook, if you sign up there, use promo code NFL. You get all kinds of deposit matches and good stuff going on there, so check them out. What do you think about this Cincinnati Miami game. At first look, it's unappealing to me, but are you interested here?
Sorry, Geek, I think I had a little technical difficulty here. I think we're ready to go. Did you ask me about the Bengals?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, are you interested in this game at all? Are you going to play anybody from either team here?
Yeah, you know, there are two players specifically, and I might not touch anybody else in this entire game. I love what Bill Lazor is doing with this offense. He's just got this aerial attack going, and Dalton looks – he looks comfortable. He has a 5.8% touchdown rate, which is the seventh highest on the main slate right now, and he's absolutely peppering his wide receivers on 54.5% of his passes this year. Tyler Boyd has back-to-back 100-yard games. He actually has 91 yards receiving and a touchdown in four out of his – 91 yards receiving at least and a touchdown in four of his last five games dating back to week 17 of the 2017 year. So – in this role that Tyler Boyd is currently in, I think he's like $1,500 too cheap right now on both sites. So I'm going to be going back to the well with Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd. Fantasy Perfect is over his suspension this week. And this could be just one of those games where the game gets out of hand pretty early and the Bengals defense might even be in play because of it.
Yeah, I mean, Miami doesn't run it anyway, so it's not like Perfect is going to have anybody to – tackle. They don't use the running back at all in Miami. They do this gimmicky offense. It's very weird. I definitely don't have any interest in Miami, period, whatsoever. There's just no player on that team that I'm interested in. They run a very strange offense where all these random wide receivers getting three or four targets. It just doesn't work for me. I don't like it. For Cincinnati, because of this weird Miami defense, which has actually been very good, it's actually going to get me off a little bit of some of those Cincinnati players that I've been on the last couple of weeks, like Boyd and even a little bit of Green. I guess as a plus, they lost their tight end, so they're going to have to throw more to the wide receiver position. But if there's one spot that I like, I still like Gio as long as Gio Bernard is the only running back for that team. So that's the one spot that I'm really looking at in this game. I'm looking at Gio, and I'm saying, is he the only running back? If Mixon comes back, that's off the board. But as long as Gio's okay and he's healthy, he's got a questionable tag going right now. But as long as Gio's fine, that's the spot I'm looking at for this game. And that's about it. We're about to go to the 4 o'clock game. Going to take a quick break, talk about DFS Army for a second, and then we'll be right back with the second half of the slate.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, welcome back. We have the second half of the week 5 Sunday main slate, starting off with the Raiders traveling to Los Angeles, not a long ride, taking on the Chargers in a game where the Chargers are favored by 5.5 with a very exciting 53.5 point total according to Skybook Sportsbook. Mitch, are we stacking this game as an MME strategy, and what about cash?
Oh, man. Well, I guess for cash, the only spot I really like right now is Melvin Gordon. You know, they're 5.5-point favorites with a 29.5-point implied team total, the Chargers are, which really puts Gordon in a nice game script. I guess we could game theorize that the game could be some type of shootout. In that case, I'd be looking at possibly running it back with someone like Jordy Nelson, who's just under price right now, and he's receiving 8 targets per game. And he's really produced these last 2 games. Jared Cook, man, it's just the career we all thought Jared Cook would have over the last 7 years. I guess he's finally having. as the number two options for this offense, possibly number three if Nelson keeps this surge. But I really don't see this as a game where I'm going to be stacking as much as I'm possibly just kind of picking and choosing pieces from this game. How about yourself?
I think there's a lot of appeal to this game in all formats. A, it's got the total that we want. There is a, basically, like, the Pittsburgh-Atlanta game is acting like the sun. And there's a major gravitational pull towards it. And what's happening is, it's so bright and shiny that these other highly projected games are sort of, you can't even see it. Because the sun is blocking it out. Like, all I can see is that one massive ball of 57-point total Pittsburgh-Atlanta. So it's kind of like blocking out this game for, I think, mentally for people. But we just saw Oakland give up something like 40-plus points to Cleveland with a rookie quarterback. Now we've got a Chargers team that has not played good defense this season. Now the whole question here is, can the Raiders score? Because if the Raiders can score in this game, the Chargers will score back. And this will turn into a fantasy points explosion. So yes, I definitely do want to stack this game in tournaments. It's got just as much appeal as any other one on the slate. And who to stack? Not sure. Love Melvin Gordon? I mean, you can't not like Melvin Gordon in this situation. Again, Oakland defense can't stop running backs. Hell yeah. Keenan Allen, of course, Mike Williams. There's so much going on here. Phillip Rivers. And then the flip side is the Amari Cooper resurgence. Is that like a one game thing? He rarely has two good games in a row. Is it possible that he has two good games? I mean, like, look at his returns this season. 2.8, 24.6, 3.7, 29.8. Feels like a 3.8 week to me. Just because that's his pattern. I have no logic behind that. But there's everything to like about this game. 53.5 point total. Two very bad defenses right now. The thing about Oakland is, you know, they don't have like running backs that I like to use, but I got Melvin Gordon. I'm happy. So I do like this game a lot from both sides. And not so much as a cash. I don't stack games in my primary lineups, but certainly something I want to stack for some of my hybrid tournament type entries this week. Check this out. Before we continue, I want to read you a letter I got, and from this pod, Mitch. You don't even know about this.
Let's hear it.
All right. Kevin, I hit for 18K with your Skybook mention. Thank you for the promo. I would not have discovered that site otherwise. Crazy parlay. I went 10 for 10. Legit, all the last second goodness, too. Any mentions, I guess, Dallas, Titans, Bengals, plus 3.5, Chargers, Texans, those were balancing out, Pats, minus 6.5, Packers, Jaguars, Atlanta, Cincinnati, over, and the Bears. Imagine sweating that one out. So, one of our listeners hit for 18,000.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how he wrote me, and, you know, I think, like, this was like a, he wrote to our my email address, so I don't know how he found me, but, that's really cool. And then he's let's keep being smart and grinding that bankroll, Mike. So, Mike, wherever you are, I hope you're listening. Congratulations, man. 18K parlay, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And my goodness, how much would that bet have been? Like, is that $100? Like, you put $100 or $50 on a 10 for 10. You know, that's crazy. That's quite impressive. Nice work,
man. Yeah, congratulations, man.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the next game on the slate. All right. No, but interest. Okay. We got the Cardinals traveling to San Francisco with flowers in their hair.
I don't know if I can do it, man. This is one of those games where just complete stay away.
Did you not hear the flowers in their hair comment?
No, I missed it.
You missed it.
I was focused.
I said the Cardinals are traveling to San Francisco with flowers in their hair.
I missed it completely.
All right, because I'm old school and I know songs from the 60s. All right, forget all that.
Yeah, whatever. Age yourself more.
I'm not that old. I just know songs from that time. All right. The 49ers are favored by 4 points, rolling out B-3rd at quarterback against the Cardinals. 41-point game total, according to Skybook Sportsbook. So Any goodness in this game at all?
Not for me.
Nothing. You don't like it. 41 points. I'm interested in San Francisco defense. And I like David Johnson for contrarianism. I think Arizona defense is playable as well. And David Johnson, why not? 49ers are terrible against the run. One of the worst teams in the league.
That they are.
Yeah, and David Johnson.
I like that call. Yeah, I like that. I can get behind that.
DJ's priced down like crazy. Super cheap. Best player in the league. Hasn't been able to do it with this terrible coaching staff. But, you know, let's see if they can get it turned around. So that's my interest in that game. I don't really like the San Francisco side at all offensively. I do think that it's possible Rosen has a good game. It's not a DFS play, but just more of a, I think the Cardinals have a chance of covering the spread in this one. I think they could play better than what people think. All right, let's move on to a more interesting game in terms of the teams themselves, if not so much for daily fantasy purposes. But we've got the Eagles at home, 3-point favorites, taking on the Vikings. Skybook Sportsbook numbers have this total at 44.5 points. Minnesota, a really good defensive team, coming off a thrashing at the hands of the Rams offense. So maybe they're not that good. No, but they are. Just the Rams are that good, too. Taking on Philly, that's normally considered a good defense, but they haven't shown it this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough targeting the Eagles' defense, isn't it?
It's scary. You look at them and you say, hey, no, you don't fuck with the Eagles. But this is a team that hasn't been good on defense so far this year.
They haven't, and I don't exactly understand what's going on. I don't know if they're missing somebody. This is a defense that's been pretty darn good for the last 2 years. But, you know, they're going up against Guy Cousins, which I also don't understand the low total for the Vikings offense when you've got a guy who's throwing for 400 yards seemingly every week right now. And he's just funneling his production to two receivers, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. And whenever you have those situations, and we touched on this last week talking about Deshaun Watson with his two big boys there, you know, you've got an opportunity to stack a quarterback with one to two options when you know that that person is going to receive double-digit targets. He's going to be a primary read or at least a secondary read, and you have an opportunity for both guys to blow up with your quarterback, no matter who the opposing defense is. That's a situation I always want to be targeting in GPPs, and especially in a spot that both of us might look at it and be like, do I want to target the Eagles' defense? Well, the general public is probably thinking the same thing, and they might not have the stones to go through with something like that, but I absolutely love Kirk Cousins, Diggs, and Adam Thielen this week.
That is the kind of sneaky stuff. I totally agree with you. Totally agree. The field is going to see Eagles at home. They're going to see Vikings on the road. They're going to see a low total and say, nah, not this one. Don't like the total. Don't like the defense they're facing. Skip it. And, you know, we have to look deeper than that. And you're totally right. Minnesota cannot run the football right now. This is a very important factor. I love when teams can't run the football because we know they're going to throw, right? They can't run it. Dalvin Cook kind of hurt. Latavius Murray, not very good. So their running game, not looking great right now. What does that mean? They're going to throw. They're going to throw. They're going to throw. They're going to throw. That makes Thielen exciting. That makes Diggs exciting. Now, on the flip side, I'm not in love with the Eagles' offense here because the Vikings' defense is very good. And despite what we saw last week, is Xavier Rhodes hurt? I mean, did I miss something? Is he okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually had him written down as locking down Alshon Jeffrey this week, where I'm off of Alshon because of Xavier Rhodes. So I guess we'll have to look into that.
Got to look into that, but that does favor Zach Ertz. It could favor Aguilar if Rhodes is in the game. And it makes me less excited about the Philly defense. The Vikings are not a team you're going to run up the gut at. So the Jay Ajayi running style, not the best. Again, which should funnel more to the passing game. Ertz, Aguilar. It's an interesting game to get involved with. And I do think there will be fantasy goodness that emerges from it. Anytime two good teams take each other on, even when there's a low total, Vegas total, we want to try to look past that and say, all right, is this the type of game that's going to play to the over? Are they, is that number a little too low? Are they fooling us because the public thinks, oh, very good defenses, let's stay away? When in reality, maybe this game has explosive potential. So, I do like that game. Now let's move on to the last game of the main slate. And I've got something coming on for the 8 p.m. slate, 8 p.m. game that I'm so excited for. I want to get to it already, but let's go. Rams on the road, taking on the Seahawks. Rams are favored by 7. Skybook Sportsbook game total is 50.5 points. Seahawks just lost Earl Thomas, who took the moment to give the fans the old one-finger salute goodbye. Did you see that?
I did see that. Poor guy.
I mean, what the hell, you know? The fans are like, hey, what did we do? We didn't not pay you. Why are you mad at us? We like you. Maybe he's giving the finger to his teammates. I don't know. Who was it?
It did look like his sidelines, but he's just probably disgruntled in every facet of life right now.
I guess.
That's a brutal happening to him, and you know, he's been wanting that long contract with more guaranteed money, and they're talking about trading him, and he goes out there and just blows up his knee.
Well, what were the unfortunate. Yeah, what were the chances? But you know, that's how it goes. So, the Seattle defense continuing to get worse.
Yes, they are.
Lost their best player. Lost Richard Sherman. A lot of those quality defensive players are gone. Now, the Rams are basically coming out here to put the beatdown on the Seahawks. Do you think that a 7-point line is enough? Because I have a feeling they're going to win by like 14 or more.
Oh, my goodness. I'm right there with you. And I think that the over will rise and the spread will rise. Currently, 76% of the bets, the public bets, are on the Rams. So I could see that spread moving here soon. And 79% of the bets are on the over. So I would imagine we're going to see an increase for the Rams team total. I don't know how much the Seahawks will change, if any. It's hard not to like Jared Goff and all his friends. They're not really priced up either, other than Robert Woods on FanDuel, but even him, he's still in play. There might be a spot where he just has so many weapons right now where you just target Goff and Todd Gurley. And if we think that the Rams are going to go score 42, 45 points, something like that, you know, you can target Goff and Gurley in a very unique stack where you can soak up 6 touchdowns between the two of them and possibly even a dump-off touchdown from Goff to Gurley.
You just nailed one of my favorite cash game approaches. High-scoring game. Quarterback, the running back together. You lock up all of the touchdowns for that team. Now, the Rams are projected here to score close to 30 points. So, we're talking 4 to 5 touchdowns. If I can get that between my running back and my quarterback, I've got a very good start, no matter how it goes together. In order for that scenario, though, to play out as best as it can, it would have to be a situation like last week where the other team was scoring and keeping the game interesting. So we'll see if Seattle can do that. As far as the Seattle pieces go, any interest there at all?
I guess just one. Doug Baldwin, his price is incredibly cheap right now, and we know that he's a guy who's going to be very expensive by the end of the season. And you got a chance to get him for $5,000 on DraftKings. And if he's healthy and gets full practices in this week, you might want to run it back with him.
I don't mind that play at all. I didn't realize he was that cheap on DraftKings. And let's see what he did last week, 7 targets. I don't mind that play at all. I need a little more research to see kind of, A, how his knee is doing, how many snaps he was in the game for last week. I want to get a little bit of those numbers together before I feel comfortable with Baldwin. But yeah, I mean, it's not a great matchup though. The Rams are spectacular defensively.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? To piggyback off that, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen just raked the Rams defensive backs. You think they can't do that to the Eagles? I gotta stop talking about this. I gotta keep
you going back to the Eagles. Yes.
Yep. I can't help myself.
Of course they can. Yes. Hell yeah, they can do that. That's right. But let's move on to Sunday Night Football. We've got the Cowboys, Zeke, and friends heading out to Houston, take on the Texans. Texans favored by 3. Skybook Sportsbook game total, 45 points. And wait, I've got a song queued up just for this song. Here we go. Here it is.
Oh, yeah, Kiki.
All right, before they kick us off of whatever thing for playing a song, I don't know what we're allowed to play here. Kiki, do you
He's
like
there.
Me? Na-na-na-na. All right. So, Will Fuller is out. Kiki is in.
Yes, he is.
Are you going to be walking alongside a moving car with somebody in the driver's seat filming you as you do a crazy Kiki dance?
I am just not that cool, so most likely not.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Man, no, but I'm going to pretend I am.
Get on.
Fake it till you make it, bro.
Freaking get on TMZ. Get on, like, the world, the pop culture. There's a whole thing out there with Kiki. Look it up.
Well, I'm going to have to do that because I'm completely lost
right
now.
Get on YouTube and type in Kiki Challenge. All right?
Is this safe for work?
It is safe for work. And I'm going to tell you that there's a very reasonable chance that I will be doing the Kiki Challenge this week. Look for me on YouTube.
All right. Good luck.
A little scared. All right. So let's talk about this game. Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. Sunday Night Football, I know. You know, I was looking at this game and thinking about breaking it down here, but I'm not going to lie. Full disclosure, man. This past weekend, I leaned so heavily on your VIP podcast for the members and the Showdown Notes by DFS Up North, who just does a beautiful job with those one-game breakdowns with Josh. The two of you, just the way you guys kind of tag-team these one-game slates, I find myself just completely giving up control, and I just go by whatever you guys say, and I jam it into the optimizer that we have, the Domination Station, and it's been very, very profitable one game slates for me thus far. And I'm honestly just going to let you take these next two games and kind of break them down how you see fit, and don't give away too much of that juice though, because I know that that is some very tasty stuff that you give our members.
Yes, what Mitch is talking about is one of the things I do for DFSArmy.com VIP members every single week, is we break down not just the main slate, every single slate, including the single game Sunday night and Monday night games, the two game breakdown that combos the Sunday night and Monday night game, and, you know, later in the week with much more in-depth research and so on and so forth. But just on the surface, what can I tell you about the Texans? They don't have much of a running game, right? They don't have a tight end. So the entire offense flows through Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and whoever else is a wide receiver for that team on any given week. Now, normally it's Will Fuller. But Will Fuller is out, which is why the Kiki Challenge is happening. Because Kiki going to be super cheap. He's coming off a ton of targets last week once Fuller came out, and he is going to beast. He is a preseason guy that I have been aware of and looking at, and I love his name. I love the song. There's so many things going on with Kiki that you just have to be excited. And for the Cowboys, it's all about Zeke or bust. This is going to be a very interesting showdown because there aren't that many players. You got Zeke? You got Watson, you got Kiki, you got Hopkins. Then you got to fill out the rest in such a way that you could fit those four studs into your lineup. That's it. Very simple. Very simple game. I'm excited for this one. Zeke Elliott, super stud. Again, Hopkins, Watson. I always play Watson every single week. He hasn't disappointed very often. And they just throw so much. Watkins, all right, let me ask you this before we move on to the last game. If you could start a team today, Mahomes or Deshaun as your quarterback? Because I think to me, those are the two guys I would want. Like, if you give me the whole league to choose from, the whole league, including Mayfield, including Garner, those are the two guys I'm choosing from. Who do you like more? Who do you start your franchise with today?
That is an unbelievable question. Somebody actually asked me that earlier today, and we kind of both came to the conclusion, just as I dodged this question the best that I can, we kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, a few years ago, it looked like the NFL was just going to fall off this cliff where they just weren't going to have these studs anymore as Peyton Manning kind of faded into the sunset. And Brady got old, and Breeze got old, but here we are. Brady's still there. Breeze is still a stud. Now you've got these – then. Seemingly the next generation of quarterback between Watson and Mahomes, as you refer to him.
Rolling with Mahomes.
Mahomes. And, you know, it'd be hard. I'd be hard pressed not to roll with Mahomes. Who wouldn't with those weapons around him? But I always struggle to try to pick and choose one or the other in these situations when you clearly have better coaching and better players in Kansas City compared to the Texans right now.
That's a fair argument, because how do you choose? They're both so freaking good. I agree. I will go. I'm going to roll in with Mahomes, and it's mainly because the way that Deshaun Watson plays, he takes a hit on almost every play.
He
and
does.
That style of waiting till the last second to throw, I was telling people, it reminds me of Tony Romo. I love Tony Romo as a player. Not a Giant, not a Cowboys fan, just like the player. But it reminds me of Tony Romo's style of play where he would just get smashed but deliver into that hit. And eventually that cost him his back and, you know, cost him his career. So you can't keep taking those hits. So Deshaun Watson seems to do that, whereas Mahomes, not as much of like a part of his repertoire where he just waits the land and gets smashed every time he throws it. So that aside, I love those two young quarterbacks. Super excited to see the next 10 years and what they bring for those two. And I do think they are the best of the new breed. Sorry, Browns. Sorry, Jets. Sorry, Bills. Sorry,
hey, no.
Cardinals. This season's crop, not as good. Last season was better. All right. So let's move on to Monday Night Football with another super exciting game. So this is for people who are playing the big slate. Wow. Redskins traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints in the Dome. Saints favored by 6.5. Return of Melvin Ingram. 52.5 point game total. What's not to like about this game, Mitch?
Well, I think Mark Ingram's return might really muddy the situation here for Alvin Kamara, even if he starts losing 6 to 8 total touches and possibly some red zone work. Would you be able to be comfortable with going back to the well with him at his price point?
In the single game slate, absolutely. In the main slate, where I have all the options in front of me, I'm going to take Gurley over Kamara just because they're both awesome. So why not take the guy who doesn't have a vulture coming in? You know what I mean? But I love Kamara, and I think Kamara is going to be great still with Ingram. I didn't see where Kamara wasn't great last season when Ingram was there. But yeah, it's going to reduce the floor a little bit. We're probably not going to lock in 25 points in his worst game anymore. And, you know, 45 points upside for Kamara. We're going to have to readjust the numbers. We'll probably see games where Kamara, you know, isn't hitting the 30 and 40 points anymore. And I think his salary will come down over the next few weeks. Washington too, though. I mean, there's a lot to like about both sides of this game. Alex Smith, his weapons, Chris Thompson. There's a lot going on here to like. So I don't know you know, this will be a fun single game contest to attack because there's a lot of weapons and a lot of possibilities for scoring. It's going to be very different from the Houston-Dallas game where there's a very fine number of studs in there, and then you just have to mix in a bunch of turrets. Whereas this Saints-Redskins game, you really have a lot more exciting players to kind of work around, and then these middling ones. Like Michael Thomas, are we really going to load up on Michael Thomas when I'm trying to get Kamara in my lineup when I can't afford it? Or, you know, are we going to names like Jameson Crowder or some of the, you know, I definitely love the tight end for Washington, Reed, but what if he gets hurt in game? So there's a lot of intrigue to that Monday night game, and it's going to be an exciting one, I think, with a high score, and I think not a game that's going to disappoint the way that the Saints disappointed at the Giants, or the Giants disappointed at home versus the Saints this past week. All right. That is it for week 5. I want to say that Mitch will be back. Mitch does the MME breakdown for DFSArmy.com, a complete guide to how to mass multi-enter in week 5. It is awesome. I read it every week. It's what I use to figure out how I'm going to mass multi-enter contests. It's instructions. It's a breakdown how to use our DFS Army Domination Station Optimizer, where you could press a button and set up stacks, control exposures, and create 150 lineups that you can upload directly to FanDuel or DraftKings at the push of a button. And before you say, oh, I'm not rich, I can't put in 150 lineups, that's for sharks and DFS, you know, professionals. No, it's not. There are quarter games, cost $37.50 to enter 150 lineups. There are dollar games, $150 for 150. You don't tend to lose all of your lineups, you tend to get some of it back, even if you're not awesome that week. So there's a lot of really cool ways to use DFSArmy.com tools to mass multi-enter contests or work it my way. Hybrid lineups, cash games, Geeks Pick Sheet, a lot going on at DFSArmy.com. Sign up using promo code GEEK to get 10% off your membership. And that'll do it for week 5, the Vegas Lions breakdowns. Mitch and I will be back next week to do it all over again. Thanks for coming on, Mitch.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Let's get it.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.
Do you love football? Well, visit Skybook Sportsbook for live odds on all your favorite games 24/7. Sign up with Skybook.ag now and feel the action like a pro. Since 1997, Skybook.ag is the preferred destination for finding the best odds on all the sports you like. For a limited time, sign up at Skybook.ag and claim a $25 free play with promo code NFL. Don't let your games get away. Visit Skybook.ag today.